Good morning. My name is Don. I'm the president of the Debbie McClune Fan Club. 18,182 days of marriage today. And thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That was for Debbie, right? Should have been. Before we start, I have a great announcement today. You know John Collins, pastor here? He's sometimes up here when he's not cruising. Arlene and John have two daughters, Sarah and Kristen. And their baby, Kristen, and her handsome husband, Nathan, have been in London for 3 years. Nathan's got his PhD, which is really great, right? Well, here's the great news. They're here this morning, and what they told me is don't embarrass them, so I'm not going to. Yes, I am. Chris and Nathan, stand up, please. We still friends? Kristen loves me. I know she does. Okay, this morning, we're going to talk about... You can say it. Very good. I'm impressed. But here's the deal. Well, I'll wait for Denny to sit down before I start. Okay, now we can start. You have to listen very closely today, okay? It's very important that you listen closely to words, because sometimes words can have different meanings or whatever, but you have to listen close, okay? When I was a kid, right behind our house was a shoe factory, and one night there was a fire. 100 souls were lost that night. When I was in high school, I was not the best of students, and I would talk a lot, not to the teacher, but just talk to my friends and things like that. So one day in English class, I was talking, and the English teacher said, called my name, which I didn't hear, and said, "Don, name two pronouns." And then somebody said, I went, "Who, me?" So you're listening carefully. That's good. In my profession, you can imagine I have a lot of strange people that come into my office, and that's okay because I love everybody. But I had a guy come in the other day and said, "Dr. McClune, I'm a deck of cards." And I said, "Just have a seat. I'll deal with you later." So then, and then I had a surgeon one time as a patient, and I said to him, I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Okay." I said, "Well, what makes you happy?" He said, "I love when people open up to me." This is a tough crowd this morning. Okay, you know, the jokes about the unemployed people are not funny because they just don't work. This morning, John's coming back, don't worry. This morning I want to read to you from the book of James, great book in the New Testament, James chapter 3. Hear God's word. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this cannot go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? This ends the reading of God's holy word. Words have power. We need to remember that. Words have power. When I was in third grade, my music teacher said, "Donald, you can't sing, don't sing." Third grade, I know, many, many years ago, I can still remember her saying that. Words have power. In Genesis, God spoke light, and there it was. God spoke earth, and there it was. God spoke fish, and there they were. God spoke animals, and there they were. God spoke birds, and there they were. God spoke humans, and there they were. Words have power. Cry has three letters. So does joy. Hurt has four letters. So does heal. Hate has four letters. The word love has four letters. Anger has five letters. Happy has five letters. Wrong has five letters. Right has five letters. Lying has five letters. Truth has five letters. Enemies have seven words. The word friends have seven letters. I'm going to tell you the biggest lie you've ever heard, and that is sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That is a lie. It is a lie. Words can hurt. Words can heal. Words can harm you. Words can help you. Words can demean. Words can delight. Words can discourage you. Words can deliver you. Words can destroy you. Words can dignify you. Words can diminish you. Words can discover you. It's important that we speak in ways that convey respect. It's important that we speak in ways to convey gentleness, humility. It's important that we speak in ways that convey encouragement, truth, honesty, words that inspire. This morning we need to ask ourselves, are the words we speak honoring God? Take the last 7 days, the words you spoke, have they honored God? And again, we need to remember, once the words are out, you can't put them back in. It's the toothpaste tube, you squeeze it, you can't put the toothpaste back in. It's the peel of the banana, you can't put the peel back on. I tell couples in my office, for every complaint you have for your spouse, you need to give 10 compliments. I came across this quote, and this is a great quote. By swallowing evil words unsaid, no one has ever harmed the stomach. By swallowing evil words unsaid, no one has ever harmed his stomach. Winston Churchill. Since there is power in words, it's very important that we remember, here's a review, if you've heard me speak before, it's important if we buy into the fact that words are powerful, it's important that we remember to listen. I told you before, God gave us two of these and one of these, and maybe, just maybe, he wants us to do this twice as much as this. Words have power. So when you speak, don't waste your words on gossip. You're not honoring God. We need to be careful not to dump the contents of our mind without regard to significance. We need to avoid exaggeration and manipulation. We need to be careful about the insults that we put out or when we belittle others. Exaggeration, do you realize that our tax code, I just came across this, our tax code has 7 million words to it. 7 million words, tax code. Thank you, God, for TurboTax. The Bible has less than 800,000 words. The Ten Commandments only have 300 words. By the way, when I came across this stat that the Bible has 800,000 words or just less than, I'm thinking, does that mean that somebody in the counted them? Maybe a computer did. I don't know. The following is a very true story. A large grocery chain decided that they wanted to train their frontline workers, all the baggers, all the cashiers, because they knew the importance that when a customer comes through, how they're treated really plays a part in if they're coming back or not. So they wanted to do this training for all the baggers, all the cashiers. So they scheduled the training. They scheduled a couple different times so that there'd be some baggers, some cashiers there. But everybody had to do this training. One young man whose name was John, who had Down syndrome, had to go to the training because he was a bagger. Had to go. And he was a little concerned because he thought, I'm not going to be able to understand what they're trying to tell me. But he went anyway, and he did the training, and he was a little confused what they were trying to tell him, what he needed to do. But he went home, and he talked to his dad, and this is what they came up with. True story. John decided what he would do is he researched quotes that would be affirming quotes. Quotes that would help somebody, that would encourage somebody. And he found as many as he could. He printed them out. Then he photocopied them. And he made hundreds and hundreds of copies of these quotes, all these different quotes. And what he did every day when he was working, somebody would come through the line. He would bag that person's groceries. He put a quote in the bag. And he would say to the customer, I hope this brightens your day. That's all I would say to them. It was amazing because in 2 weeks' time, the managers of this store realized there was a problem. They had many, many cashiers, checkouts, but they had one long line where John was bagging the groceries. And the managers would go up to the customers and say, right here's a shorter line. And they would say, no thanks. I want to get my quote. I want John to put a quote in my bag. That's amazing. Amazing. If that can happen in a grocery store, start imagining what could happen. If speaking words to somebody, speaking words of life, abundant life, can change a person, if it can help a grocery store, what could it do at First Church of Christ? What could it do in your family? What could it do where you work? What could it do with your friends? If there's any place that we should be speaking words of life, it needs to be in this building. All of us need to be doing that. If you're speaking to yourself and you're saying words out loud, you begin to believe them. And so if you're speaking to yourself and all you ever hear yourself say to yourself is that you're a failure, and you list all the complaints that you have about yourself or complaints that you've heard, those words begin to create life, a life that you live. Your words are the paint with which you paint your reality. Your words are the paint with which you paint your reality. To others, your words are a very, very creative force. You can always replace negative with positive. Just think about it. Before you speak, replace negative with positive. I have a short video I want to show you just to reinforce what I've been talking about.
Within our words, an unseen power is set in motion. The tongue is a small thing, but like a tiny spark, can set a great forest on fire. Once spoken, our words begin blazing a trail through the hearts and lives of those around us. One kind word can demolish guilt. It can inspire hope. But the same words have also embraced hatred and executed innocence. Once spoken, our words scorch through feelings and emotions on a level that only they can produce. Your words set up a chain of events beyond your control and of which you will never know. One word can destroy beliefs, harden hearts, or cultivate hatred. But they can also demonstrate faith, display forgiveness, and nurture love. The power of life and death lies in a single word, and we, the image of God, have this power in one word.
One word, a chain of events. One word, a blazing trail. One word can do. So if you buy into what I'm saying, that our words and our thoughts are the very tools with which we create our reality, then you realize your words are your most valuable tool. If you buy into the fact that our words are the very tools with which we create our reality, then you realize your words are your most valuable tool. We need to pick the best words to create your best reality. If all of us truly understood the awesome power of our words, we would prefer silence to almost anything negative. Almost anything negative. Words are so much more than air passing through your voice box. Of all creatures, only people have the ability to communicate through spoken words. It's a powerful, unique gift from God. Proverbs tells us that our tongue has the power of life, our power has the power of death. Our tongue has the power to destroy, our tongue has the power to build up. What are your words doing on a daily basis? The New Testament tells us over and over again that our words need to be full of grace and mercy, a benefit to those who listen to us. You realize that the words we speak are really, actually, an overflow of our heart. The words you speak are simply an overflow of your heart. What words are you speaking? We need to realize the power of our words. Okay, you're in this room, you're listening to this message, there's a homework assignment that I want you to do. And I've been saying this to groups I'm working with, to patients I see, this is important that you do this homework assignment. You've heard the term New Year's resolutions, and by the end of February, they're probably all thrown out already, right? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I came across this idea, and I think it's a fantastic idea. So if I think it's fantastic and you're listening to me, then guess what? you have to buy into it. So now it's fantastic to you. And this is the deal. One word. Okay? One word. You need to pick one word for the rest of the year that you're going to focus in on. I'm doing the same thing. My word is encouragement. Will I make a mistake sometime? Absolutely. Will I fail to encourage somebody? Absolutely. But I'm striving to encourage people, whether it be my patients, family, church family, friends, whoever I come in contact with. I'm trying to encourage, okay? But I want you to pick a word. And because you're here, and I wrote down all your names, I'm allowed to come up to you anytime this year and say, what's your word? How are you doing? Okay? One word. It cannot be a phrase, one word. Okay? Everybody gonna do this? You know, I'm not asking you to give $1 million here. One word. Does anybody already, I'm not gonna ask what it is. Does anybody already have your word? Great, good. One word. And you know what, if you're married, tell your spouse, tell somebody that's close to you so they can keep you accountable and you get their word too. And if you have a friend or whatever family member that's not here and you tell them about this assignment, they're responsible too, okay? So you need to do this. This is really important. Words have power. And what you're thinking is going to come out. So I want you to dwell on this. Think about it. Don't jump at a word if you don't have one. Fine. But pick a word. And between now and December 31st, this is your word. Okay? Deal? Great. I'm glad you agree with me. So I just said, you know, New Year's resolutions, we throw them away so often, but I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth this morning. Here's the exception. I came across this study, this survey, that for me is amazing, okay? Logos Bible Software Company, they've been around for about 30 years, something like that. They did this study on the word, God's word, okay? This is amazing. So they were trying to find out about people Bible reading. You know, people read the Bible and things like that. And this is what the study came up with. If you read the Bible one day a week, it really didn't change you that much. If you read the Bible two times a week, it really didn't make a big difference in your life. If you read the Bible 3 days a week, it didn't make a difference, that much of a difference in your life. They're not saying don't read the Bible if you only read one time a week. But here's what they discovered. For those people that read the Bible four times or more per week, okay, 4 days a week, if they do that, this is what they found. Amazing. The feeling of loneliness dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 30%. 4 days or more. Bitterness in relationships dropped 40%. This next one, I believe the study. Alcoholism dropped 57%. 4 days or more. Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped 60%. Viewing porn dropped 60% for those people that are in the Bible at least 4 days a week. Now here's the last one, makes sense. Sharing your faith jumped 200%, 4 days a week or more. Lonely, anger dropped 30%. Bitterness dropped 40%. Spiritually stagnant, porn dropped 60%. We need to be in God's word. I'm not preaching at you. We need to be in God's word. You know, I mentioned that the Tax Code, 7 million words. Bible, almost 800,000. Ten Commandments, 300 words. Let me give you one more. Peter's confession in the New Testament. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. 10 words. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you cannot say that, those words, if you cannot say those 10 words, if those 10 words are not yours, you never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is that very day that you need to have those words repeated to God. It's simple. God, I'm a sinner. I've made tons of mistakes. I want you in my life. I want you to be in control of my life. I want you to be over my life. They're very important words. If you've never made that decision, today's that day. Now, I mentioned first service that somebody came up to me the other week when I preached and said, you know, Don, you always mention that salvation at the end of the sermon, but I never see anybody coming up to you. So you might as well just stop. And then I said, no, I'm not going to, because it might be today. It might be tomorrow. And also, we don't know if somebody thought about it and Tuesday after the Sunday sermon, they made that decision on their own. That's fine. But if you've never made the decision to have Christ in your heart, to accept him as Lord and Savior, to be in, for him to be in control of your life, today's that day. As Peter confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. 10 words. Those 10 words need to be in our brain, in our mouth. We need to recognize that. And then with that, it's natural that we want to read his word. And if we can start doing it, even start it one day, but eventually you get that four or more, and those things that they found in that survey, that's amazing. That can be for you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't leave this room if you've never made that decision. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us first. We thank you, God, that you care for us, that you give your mercy and grace new each and every day, that your love is so complete, so awesome, that we can't fully understand it, but we know it's true. We know that you love us, that you came and died for us so we can be with you forever. We humbly say, thank you, Jesus, and pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.